He's confident. And you're not 100% sure of everything the guy is trying to say, but you can hear the enthusiasm in his voice. Who do you think has a better chance of getting that girl's interest? Well, I think we all know the answer to that question. But why? Because one man is in the correct state to attract women, and the other is not. State and energy is so powerful that even other people can pick up on it. This isn't something that only exists in your head. Other people will know if you're in a strong state or a weak state. Now let me ask you this. If the state you are in is so powerful that other people pick up on it, and it can influence how other people respond to you, do you think it can influence how you respond to you? You bet your booty it does. Times 10, okay? If you want to live an extraordinary life, you need to maintain an extraordinary state. Obviously you can't be in that extraordinary state 100% of the time. You know, everyone's down some of the time, but a lot of the time, more than other people, okay? Being in a higher quality situation in your life is being in a higher quality state more often than other people. So, how else can we control our state through our body? Well, what was the lady in our hypothetical example picking up on? Our body language, which we've already mentioned, and our vocal expressions. Yes, that's another way we can control our state. Before you thought of when you were thinking of how a depressed person looks, now I want you to imagine how a depressed person sounds. Well, Knight Rider, I just can't seem to get out of this rut. Yeah, I keep listening to that and I'm gonna get stuck in a rut with you. Just like how our vocal energy can influence a woman's interest in us, our vocal energy will influence our interest in our own life. But once again, by a factor of 10. Okay, now, remember how you changed your body to put yourself in that energized state. I want you to do that again. I want you to stand up, right, if you can, and don't be whining like, but Knight, you just had me stand up a few minutes ago. I didn't know there was gonna be so much standing up involved in changing my life. Hey, come on. All right, humor me, okay? Humor me or give the program to someone who will actually use it to its fullest. Okay, come on. So stand up and create that positive state again. Control your state. All right. Or if you're in the car, right, in a situation where you can't stand up, right, sit up straight. All right. I mean it, really sit up straight. Exaggerate it. This is practice. So I want you to do it 10 times more than you typically would. All right. Because if you can't do it now, if you can't exaggerate now, how do you expect to do it in the real situation? All right, and if you can exaggerate a little bit now, you'll be lucky if you can do it with a third of the intensity when you're actually in a bad state. So practice, get that chest up, put them shoulders back, focus your eyes. All right, so someone looks at you like, yeah, that guy's focused. Look at them eyes. Give me some focus in them eyes. Put a big old smile on that face, big old grin. Throw them hands up in the air like you're a winner. And this time I want you to add in your vocals. I want you to say the word, yes. But say it like you mean it. Yes! All right, say it with some power. Say it like a person who wants to change their life. Yes! Yes! Come on, say it, guys. Yes! Now tell me, can you change your life? The answer is that yes. I want you to say yes. So can you change your life? Yes! Will you change your life? Will you make your dreams a reality?
All right. Now in 3 seconds, I want you to flip a 180. I want you to change that state from energized to depressed. 3, 2, 1, go.
Now, look like you're depressed. Shoulders down, head down, and maybe you can say the word, no, right? But you gotta say it like you're depressed. No. Does this state feel as useful in affecting positive change in our life as the previous state? No. So you gotta say no.
Alright. In 3, I want you to go right back to that absolute energized state. Alright? Control your body. Master your state. Alright? So I want you to get right back to that energized state in 3, 2, 1, go. Put that chin right back up. Put that smile on your face and tell me yes. I want you to say it with some passion. Do you feel good? Come on, I want you to say it like a person who's gonna change their life. Do you feel good? And now I want you to go right back to depressed in 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, now, is this an effective state? I want you to say no. Say it all depressed. Can you say no?
All right, now I want you to get right back to passionate. Right now, get back into passionate. Put the chest up, put the shoulders back, up straight, control your state. And I want you to scream, yes, yes! All right, now I want you to take it a few notches down. All right, sit back down, but I want you to stay in a positive state. Stay strong, stay prime, but bring it a little back down, all right? Bring it down a little bit.
Tell me, when you added in those vocals, were you able to bring yourself to a whole other level?
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being you're depressed and 10 being you are absolute, 100% ready to go out and take massive action to achieve your dreams, where are you right now? At this very moment, on that scale of 1 to 10.
How about this? Where were you a couple days ago before you started this program? Do you have any more passion today? Are you more primed to take action today? What's the difference? Your state.
You're still the same person, right? You're just in a different state. Are you in a little bit more positive and powerful of a state than you were a few days ago? I certainly hope so. Unless you were already killing it in an awesome state, in which case we're just trying to maintain that. Keep it up.
Now, right now, you have me. Okay, you've got me to keep you motivated. You've got these 30 days.
And of course, you can re-listen to this program as many times as you like. Hey, you bought it. It's yours. But let's be honest. Eventually, after you listen to this enough times, it's gonna get boring like anything else. Alright, my stupid jokes are gonna be even more stupid, and you're not funny if you thought any of them were funny the first time, okay? So, although I wanna motivate you, it's a temporary, okay? Of course, I want you to change your state for the better, but you can't rely on that for me. You cannot rely on anything outside of yourself. You must know the methods to change your own state and be willing to apply them. Now, of course, we want to use every advantage we have. If you have access to your favorite music or to listen to your favorite comedian or to me or anyone else or to a beautiful sunny day to help keep you in that peak state, heck, use it. But my point is, you're not always going to be in a situation where you have access to those things. So you need to be able to rely on yourself and yourself alone to create any state you need. If you need to be energized, you know how to create that. If you know how to be relaxed, you can create that. If you need to be social or focused or creative, whatever it is, you can create that state on demand simply because you decided to. So, are you ready for today's task? Well, you better be, all right? And if you're not, you know what to do. You know how to get in that state, so you are ready. All right, you now know how to get yourself in the mindset you need to be in order to be completely 100% ready. So, today is both a very easy one and also a very hard one at the same time. Today, I want you to be conscious of the state you're in. And if you're not in a state to achieve greatness, I need you to change it. You need you to change it. Change your body, change your facial expressions, smile, change your breathing, and act the way you know you'd be acting if you were 100% confident. And act how you would act if you were 100% motivated. And if you were 100% passionate about life. I'll trust you with knowing your day better than I know your day. Okay, and knowing the best way to go about this. But I'll let you know how I do it for me. If I've been having some trouble recently controlling my state, the first thing I do is I practice it a few times, just like we've done right here. You need to get good at controlling your state when you are in a neutral practice situation first, because doing it in real life, when you're in a negative state, is much more difficult than in a practice neutral state. I mean, doesn't that kind of make obvious sense? So you gotta practice, all right? And now when you try it in real life, and if you mess up a couple times, don't worry. It's all good. That's why we're practicing, and you'll get better over time. Think of it this way. If you are able to successfully change your state, I mean, even partially. Maybe you can't go from super depressed to super happy, but if you can go from depressed to a little less depressed, right? Or from neutral to happy or something, I mean, that's still an improvement. That's still something that you should be proud of. And anything else, anything on top of that, that's just icing on the cake, all right? So, I like to practice a bit and then set a timer to go off once per hour. Every hour, I take just 5 seconds, right? That hour goes off. I take 5 seconds and I just do a quick self-evaluation of my state. If I'm getting a lot of work done and I'm accomplishing things, I'm doing what I need to be doing, I just continue, just turn the timer off, right? You're good. No biggie. But if I'm in a poor state, I'll take, on average, about 90 seconds to 3 minutes, depending upon how much I need to change my state. Obviously, the worse off you are, you want to be a little bit more towards that 3-minute period. And if it's just, I just want to do it a little bit, you can take 60 seconds, 90 seconds, all right? And what I like to do, because the goal is to change our body here, okay? So I like to do some push-ups is typically the first thing I'll do. Do a couple quick push-ups, do a couple jumping jacks. I'll walk around the room in a powerful state, all right? Kind of like we've been practicing. You just stand up and I like to take a little quick walk around the room, have my arms raised high above my head, nice up in the sky for victory, right? That's my victory pose. And then for the last 20, so I'll alternate, okay, kind of between doing the push-ups and walking around, having my hands up, doing some jumping jacks. And then for about the last 20 seconds or so, I'll sit down, close my eyes, and focus, okay, taking deep, slow breaths. Then I open my eyes and I get immediately to work. That's the structure that I have found to work for me, but feel free to play around with it, alright? It's not set in stone. Do what works for you. I had to kind of try a couple different things and see what works for me. Push-ups, for whatever reason, work really well for me, you know, better than kind of a lot of other things. So I always try to include some push-ups because that just happens to work really well for me. But play around, see how it is for yourself, how excited you want to get, and what types of actions really help you get out of a negative state. Do not allow yourself to slip into that negativity. Remember, we cannot control yesterday and we cannot control tomorrow, but we can control today. So win today. You will be the master of your state today. And if you slip up, dude, it's cool. Forgive yourself. Get back on that horse. That's the most important thing, to get back on the horse. Success is nothing but a person who has had a long enough streak of successful days. So make today a success. I believe in you. And hey, feel free to hit me up on social media and tell me what you're achieving. Tell me what you're doing today. Tell me how's it going. All right, if you feel like you need a little pick-me-up or you want some accountability, listen, I am there for you, all right? So achieve something today, make it great, and today you will live by design.
Boom! I got the energy, baby! I got the NRG today! Welcome to day 6 of Live by Design. Guys, congratulations on getting this far. Your consistent desire to improve the quality of your life is something to be admired. And even more importantly, you're actually doing something about it. You don't just desire, you go out and you take action. Yesterday, we talked about controlling our state. Specifically, we said there were two ways we could do that. We can control our physiology, or we can control our mind. Yesterday, we went over how to control our body, and today, we are going to go over how to control our state via
our mind. So, how do we control our state via our mind? Well, a state is nothing but an emotion, and emotions are largely influenced by what we're thinking about. Probably not that much of a surprise there. And what we think about is mostly influenced by what we are focusing on. If we are focusing on negative things happening in this world, maybe, say, watching videos on YouTube of, you know, women being stoned to death in the Middle East because she had sex before marriage or is a lesbian or doesn't follow whatever their religion is, right? What type of state do you think that's going to put you in? Similarly, if you're watching videos on YouTube of cute little puppies wearing silly hats playing together, right, or like avoiding taking a bath or something, what type of state do you think that's going to put you in? What if you watch something inspiring, like, right, like you watch like a Rocky montage or listen to a speech from a great business leader on how to run a successful business? Do you think that could put you in a little different of a state after each of those experiences? And do you think that could lead you to take a different action immediately following that experience? After you watch that Rocky montage, or maybe some pumping iron, or watching someone who you think has a great body kind of working out, going at the gym, after, say, you hear a multi-billionaire, successful business person like Steve Jobs or Jeff Bezos, by the way, that's the founder of Amazon, for those of you who don't know, say something like, hey, if you're young, now is the time to go out. Now is the time to take a risk. Now is the time to start a business if that's what you want to do. Before you have the wife and the kids and the house and the expenses and all the obligations, now is the time to take risk. If you're a young cat, right, and you admire this person, it doesn't have to be these two people, whoever it is that you admire, if you heard them saying something like that, do you think that might have an influence on your actions, at least temporarily? And by the way, if you're trying to become successful in business and you have not heard a Jeff Bezos interview, I would highly recommend it, all right? You can listen to any of them. Now, if you don't want to, you know, spend several hours doing that, you can. Check out my YouTube at Knight Rider. I have a video up of some of my favorite Jeff Bezos clips. I've watched the hours of it. I love it. I'd recommend it, you know, but if you want a little bit of a shortcut or at least somewhere to start, that's a good place on my YouTube channel. But listen, if you're, you know, trying to start a business, don't you think that, you know, he's probably a guy you should listen to? I mean, any self-made man who has become the third richest person on the face of this planet, at least as of 2016 when this was recorded, he's probably someone you should pay attention to. So, anyways, today we're talking about focus and how to focus to control your state. Let me give you a little example. Have you ever been with your lady and she does something that annoys you, right? Like, so for example, my girlfriend is incapable of screwing a dang cap back on anything, like milk jugs, juice jugs, pickle jars, toothpaste, doesn't matter what it is. She is incapable of screwing anything back on something. So, she'll do that thing where, you know, she kind of just like puts it on and then she kind of does like this like half turn, right? So it's kind of like, yeah, it's kind of on, but not really. And I've told her repeated because it annoys me. I'm like, just stop doing this, right? I don't know. It just annoys me because I know that something could bad happen. So one day, sure enough, I went to the refrigerator, got some orange juice, you know, gave it a good shake. Cap comes off, juice goes everywhere. Knight Rider is not happy. Knight Rider is going to get mad at his girlfriend. When Knight Rider gets upset, he starts referring to himself in the third person, okay? So I storm off to the living room, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna give it to her, right? And at that exact time, my girlfriend appears wearing nothing but my shirt. She knows I like that. Smiling, looking all cute, climbing her two fingers up the wall, and all of a sudden I was like, it's just orange juice. It's not that big of a deal, right? Now, what happened? At first, I was focusing on the orange juice and how she doesn't listen, Then I was focusing on how bad girls get punished for not listening. All right. Now look, jokes aside, my focus changed. The difference is that outside circumstances changed my focus. But outside circumstances don't always guide us in the correct direction. And in that circumstance, it was definitely the correct direction. So we need to be able to control our own focus so it supports us and does not hinder us. Now, there are two aspects to focus. The first being what we are focusing on, and the second being how we are focusing on it, right? So it's an added depth, an added layer to that focus. So first, let's talk about what we focus on. The simple fact is the brain can pretty much only consciously focus on one thing at a time. That's just how the brain works. Okay, unconsciously, you're doing a bunch of different stuff. But consciously, you can focus hard on one thing. So right now, at this moment, you are more likely than not spending most of your conscious energy, your focus, listening to and comprehending this audio program. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't also be driving or working out or cleaning, but you really don't need to focus that much on those other tasks at this time. We've all had that experience where we're kind of zoning out while we're driving or kind of, you know, just doing errands. We don't need to think that hard. You kind of zone out. And especially with driving, I mean, rarely are our brains really focusing on driving nearly as much as when we started learning how to drive. See, that's focus. Do you remember when you started learning how to drive? I mean, your eyes were just glued to the road and you would never blink. You couldn't have the radio on. You like hated it when people talked. You're like, shut up, I need to focus. And you had to dedicate 100% of your attention to the road. But then you got used to it. Heck, some people get so used to it that they start enjoy driving, right? I love driving. I mean, not like in big traffic, obviously, but you know, I mean, don't you just kind of, I mean, once again, some people, they enjoy getting out on the road, chilling, just going for a drive. It relaxes them. So let's say right at this moment, you're driving and listening to this program. If you're not driving, just pretend you are, okay? So you're on the freeway, just relaxing, listening to the program, thinking, imagining how much more awesome your life is going to be pretty soon, and then whammo, a car cuts you off and starts braking right in front of you. You slam on your brakes and you're just able to swerve away into the left lane, and luckily there's no one there, and you don't hit anyone just before you rear-end that car. Then you pull up to that car, and you look at that driver like he's crazy. Tell me, if you were in that situation, would you really have any idea what I was just saying for the past 20 seconds? Okay, if that really just happened, are you still gonna consciously be focusing on what I'm saying? No, because your brain shifted its conscious focus. The more focused your brain becomes, the more it will ignore unrelated stimuli. Let's look at another situation. If you were born and raised on, say, some small African island or just some remote area of Africa where the only signs of modern civilization, you know, is like an occasional plane flying overhead at 30,000 feet, what would your opinions be about the world? Right, I mean, there still are human communities on this planet to this day which have no electricity, no plumbing, no modern medicine, I mean, really no knowledge that the outside world even exists. I mean, maybe they know kind of like, yeah, there's other stuff out there, but they haven't, I mean, they've never been there, they really have no idea, right? They still live in like mud huts. It's the type of people, they cover themselves in mud as like a form of like sunscreen, right? Okay. Now contrast that to say a New York City trust fund baby who's never left the developed society. Both of these individuals are equally unaware of how the other's world really works, right? I mean, the trust fund baby, he might know that some people don't have trust funds, but I mean, he really doesn't understand that lifestyle. He doesn't understand what it's like to live in a mud hut. Listen, I'm not saying I'm excluded here. I have no idea how that life works. I know it exists. I'd like to visit it sometime so I can have a better understanding, but I honestly have no idea of that world. Now, do you think that these two people will develop different beliefs about how the world is, what they believe the world is? Now, why is that? Because they are focusing on different aspects of the world. Each person is in his or her own little bubble. But is that little bubble truly the reality of the entire world? Is the whole world just a bunch of skyscrapers and traffic jams and people worrying about the stock market? Of course not. The large majority of it is not. There are literally hundreds of millions of people who are malnourished, right? They don't have enough food. They don't have clean water. They don't have electricity. There are millions of people who live with very, very few, if any, modern conveniences that we in the developed societies are gifted to have. That we're lucky that we're just born in a place where even if we're poor, I mean, even if you're a broke person in a well-developed country, I mean, the advantages that you have just from being born in that country, regardless of your socioeconomic status, is crazy, the opportunity that you have. Whereas, I mean, if you were the most capable person, but you're just born in some remote African village, it doesn't matter if you're Albert Einstein. It's gonna, you know, you just don't have those same potential, that same potential. Okay. Now, you know, the remote African tribes person is likely gonna think that that's his whole world. Right. That's all he knows. That's what he thinks his world is, just like the trust fund baby thinks that's what the world is. So the question is either of these beliefs about the world correct? Well, I mean, they may be correct in the sense that they're relevant to that individual. It may be true to that person, but of course, what's true to an individual does not reflect actual reality. And of course, the reality is the world is much more diverse and complicated than I think the vast majority of people, including myself, realize. Our mind, okay, how our mind is, it's just like the world. It is extremely diverse and complex. There's a lot of stuff going on, and there's a lot of things that we could focus on. And whatever you focus on is going to influence your actions, your beliefs, and your state. Think of this. If you were like Superman with your super senses, your super hearing, you know how he can hear someone, you know, something bad happening just completely, you know, halfway across the world, right? If you could see all that and you could see everything bad that was happening anywhere on this planet at any given time, the level of it would be difficult, I think, to stay positive about the planet if you were actually aware of everything. Now, look, I try to keep this program upbeat. I try to keep it full of my stupid jokes because, for the most part, I believe that serves you better, okay? Just hearing the dumb jokes, hopefully laughing once in a while, okay? Having that positive energy come at you. There's enough negativity out there, and I'd like to be a source of positivity, even if it's a little goofy at times. But sometimes we need to briefly look into that negativity to appreciate the vital importance of you focusing your mind on positive things which will serve you for the better. Okay, so here's that little bit of negative part, and then we're going to get out of it. But we got to go there a little bit. At this exact second, right now, as you listen to these words, right now, at the same time, across the world, there are 128 women being raped. 128 at any given second. At this second, there are 37 girls aged 10 or younger being raped. Not fondled, not molested, raped. 37 at any given second. Right now, 10 minutes from now, 10 minutes ago, when you woke up, when you're sleeping. All right. Tomorrow, there's going to be a whole new set of 128 women every single second. More likely than not, for the remaining duration of your entire life, every single second that you are alive, every second that you are alive for the rest of your life, there will be at least 128 women being raped at any given second. And that number likely will continue to grow as the population increases. Now, of course, these are statistical averages, but even that is just one single bad type of an event, right? Every day, I mean, people are being tortured, people are dying. I mean, every single day, an average of 1,478 people are murdered worldwide. 1,478 people are murdered every single day. I'm not talking about car crashes or heart attacks, right? These are murders. On September 11th, 2001, the deadliest terrorist attack in history, okay, not the history of the U.S., the history of the planet, occurred when 2,996 people lost their lives. That attack deeply affected Americans for years, and it still does to this day. What you may not realize is that virtually that same number of people, 2,956, okay, to be exact, that's the average, were murdered the previous 2 days to that attack, and 2 days following that attack, okay? And 2,956 people were murdered 2 days after that, and 2 days after that, and 2 days after that. Every single 2 days, there are virtually the same number of people murdered worldwide as there were murdered in the 9/11 attacks that changed America. Now, I am in no way trying to minimize the 9/11 attack. Quite the opposite. I am trying to get you to realize the level of evil and bad that is surging across our earth every single day. If you wanted to, could you focus on something bad, right? Something evil for your entire life? Could you find something negative to focus on? Because there's always something bad going on somewhere, right? I just proved it. I mean, simple numbers, simple math. At any given moment, there is someone being raped and someone being killed. It doesn't get, I mean, I pick those because that's pretty much like the two worst things that could go on, right? Being raped and being murdered. It doesn't get much worse than that. And that is virtually happening every single second that you are alive. So if you wanted to focus on that, could you? Now, tell me, would that support you in your life? Would that be an effective use of your time? Would that put you in an empowering state? Probably not. You're probably in a little bit of a negative state right now as I talk, as am I. I don't like talking about this stuff, but it is important to touch on because most of that's what most of us do, right? We allow that outside negativity to dictate what we focus on. If something good happens to us, we'll focus on that good. If something bad happens to us, we'll focus on that bad and we'll feel bad. The problem is most people have some bad stuff happen to them at some point in their life, usually more than once, right? And for some of us, they get a lot more negative stuff happening to them than others. So we need to control our focus. Now tell me this. Every single day, are there amazingly wonderful things happening in this world. Every single day, there are around 282,000 people having one of the best days in their life getting married to their love. Every single day, 282,000 people getting married. That's pretty awesome if you ask me. Every single day, around 8 million people are bringing a new baby into this world. That's pretty awesome. Now, I had to do a little bit of digging in math to figure out the numbers on this next one. They weren't exactly publicly available, but I think you'll enjoy them. At this very second, as you sit all to your lonesome like a loser, there are over 2.5 million people having awesome consensual sex. That's right, having some awesome consensual sexual intercourse. Okay, well, I mean, at least consensual intercourse. Maybe of that 2.5 million, maybe there's like, you know, a couple hundred thousand having awesome sex. But still, that's a couple hundred thousand people having like awesome sexual intercourse right now, right? And I assume now you're focusing on why you're such a loser listening to this dumb program instead of having awesome consensual, awesome consensual sexual intercourse. Heck, there's probably someone listening to this program right now while having sex. How does that make you feel? Okay. Wait, no, we're supposed to be back in the positive state. I'm sorry. Okay. Here. You could break it down even further. Okay. Average sex time is 7.2 minutes. And on average, orgasm time lasts 20 seconds. I looked that up, right? Cause I couldn't figure it out. Cause yeah, I'd be doing it for like hours. I'm like, yeah, but what's the average though? I know I'm like skewing that average a little higher. What's the average? Like 7.2 minutes. All right. Now, so with those averages, 7.2 minute average sex time, 20 seconds average orgasm time, that means that at this very moment, as you listen to these words, there are 117,000 people in the middle of an orgasm. Yeah. What? 117,000 people having an orgasm right now. But then again, that's assuming that every woman actually has an orgasm. So, maybe the real number's like 900 or something. I mean, not like if they was with me, you know, if they was with me, it'd be like a million, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Pound it. Okay, so hopefully I've succeeded in getting you out of that bad state that you may have been in a couple minutes ago. Now, here's the second level of focus. We can focus on that one event, okay, or that one thing that happened. All right, whatever it is that we choose to focus on. We choose to focus on this one thing, whatever it is. But here's the second level. Right, the second part of focus. There are many different things that you could focus on within that topic, right? Say you were to take two people and have them enter a competition. They both lose the competition, and they both take some time to reflect on that competition. Now, isn't it entirely possible that each of them could focus on completely different aspects of that situation? It's not always black and white, okay? It's not always murder and orgasms. Sometimes, a lot of the times, it's a situation, right? It's a little bit of in the gray area. It's not necessarily a great situation. It's not a horrible situation. A person who, say, does a competition one year and places 10th place and then commits himself to win the following year, he puts his an entire effort, right, all of his energy into that competition all year long, and then he comes in second place. Ooh, is that situation loaded, right? There are so many positives and negatives to that situation. I mean, both from like a literal standpoint and a figurative. I mean, going on in reality, there's a lot of good and some bad. And from just a mental standpoint, there's good and bad, but honestly, probably more negative than positive. Now, I remember a quote from former number 2 ranked middleweight UFC fighter, mixed martial artist Chael Sonnen. Now, if you know Chael, he's a big theatrical talker, okay? So I don't know if he actually meant this when he said it at the time. I'm sure in retrospect, you know, he disagrees with it, but I don't know if he really meant it or not, but the quote has stuck with me nonetheless. Now, I couldn't find the exact quote, so I'm going to have to paraphrase it, but it goes something like this. The goal is to be the champion. If I don't hold that belt in my hand for at least one day, then this was all a monumental waste of time. Now, whether or not he meant that, like I said, I'm not sure, but a lot of competitors think that way, right? A lot of competitors have that win or nothing, right? It's you become champion or it's a waste of time, that mentality. There have been a few fantastic studies done to illustrate how difficult it is, especially for an athlete to be number 2 in the world. Cornell University conducted a study showing students the faces of silver medalists and bronze medalists at the Olympics and asked them to rate their facial expressions on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being agony and 10 being ecstasy. Interestingly, bronze medalists actually appeared happier than silver medalists. The average bronze medalist was rated at a 7.1 out of 10 following the announcement, while the silver medalist was an average rating of 4.8 out of 10. Although the silver medalist is on any objective scale in a better situation and more successful than the bronze medalist, they were actually less satisfied. It was reason this is because the silver medalist was focusing on one thing, and that was losing to first place. While the bronze medalist, who may have also been somewhat, you know, focusing on that as well, but they were focused much more on having narrowly missed out on a medal altogether, right? So they were focusing more on beating fourth and getting a medal. In terms of perspective, most people see two levels of success. There is the winner, and then there are the three medalists. The entire earth draws a huge line between first and second, and between the top three and everyone else. Hardly anyone makes a significant distinction between second and third, including the competitors. Now, mind you, this is just in relation to the Olympics, right? The way that that event is structured. So, the silver medalist was mentally extremely close to gold, but was also somewhat distant from fourth place. And they don't really care about comparing themselves to third because nobody really cares about the difference between second and third. I mean, of course, if you ask them, they'll say, oh yeah, you know, second's better, but nobody really cares that much. It's just not that big of a difference, all right? So the silver medalist, I mean, he's all in pain, right? Because he's too far away from fourth, but he's right there next to first. So it's just pain. The bronze medalist, however, see, he's mentally much further away from gold. Okay, because, I mean, you know, of course, second place is there. So, and once again, I mean, what's his immediate gain would be silver. Once again, who cares? Not that big of a gain. Bronze, however, was mentally much closer to fourth, where he would have lost everything. I mean, that's ultimate pain right there. So bronze ends up being much more pleased with the result. There was another study, a similar one, done at San Francisco State University, from the group of Olympians that they observed, which were judo competitors, 93% of the gold medalists smiled immediately after finishing their competition. 69% of bronze medalists smiled, while not a single silver medalist smiled immediately after the competition. Now, once they get on the podium, you know, it's a little bit different. They're, right, they smile. But in terms of right when that competition ends, They're not happy. This is a real life example of how you can be in a similar situation, but what you are focusing on specifically within that situation can dramatically affect your state. So let's go back to our hypothetical situation of two people who both enter a competition to win, but come in second place. Now, one person in this situation could focus on how he dedicated so much time to, you know, trying to win, and how he failed his goal, and how he let down his coaches and his family, and everything that he sacrificed, everything that he gave up in order to lose. While the other person can focus on improving from 10th place to 2nd place, which is a pretty nice improvement, he can focus on how much better, right, from an objective standpoint, from an absolute standpoint, I mean, how much better he's gotten, right? He can focus on how he is set up with a much higher probability to win next year. He can focus on what he learned. He can realize his mistakes and how to avoid them. And he can appreciate the winner and learn from him. These two people went through the exact same situation and spent time reflecting on that situation, right? Focusing on that situation, but at that second level of focus, they were focusing on different things. So, can we really say that it is what happens to us which determines the course of our life, or is it how we interpret those events and how we focus on those events, right? Is the interpretation more important than the actual event? Here, let's do a little experiment, okay? Now, if you're in an area that you're very familiar with, this may not work quite as well, but go ahead and humor me, and let's just do it anyway, okay? Now, I want you to look around the room, right, the area that you're in. So if you're outside, inside, you know, if you're at the gym, you're driving around, whatever, just look around, and I want you to take a few seconds, and I want you to see everything that you can, which is the color white. All right, so look all around you, up, down, inside, outside, and see as many white things as you can, and try to remember them, okay? I mean, don't try not to use, like, you know, a technique, but just try to remember as many white things as you can, okay? So take 2 or 3 more seconds. Everything white. All right, and stop. Okay, now I want you to close your eyes. I mean, not if you're driving, okay? If you're driving, maybe not the best idea, but pretend that you close your eyes, okay? Stop looking for white stuff, all right? Otherwise, close your eyes right now, and I want you to recall everything you can in the area, which is the color brown. Got you a little of it, didn't I? Okay, no, but go ahead, try and think of it. What can you remember that's brown? How about the color green? What can you remember that's green? Maybe not quite as much stuff that's white, right? Okay, now open your eyes up, and I want you to take another look around the area, and now I want you to notice everything that's brown, right? Are you seeing a couple more things? You're like, oh, yeah, that, right? You see some, look for some green stuff, right? You see some green stuff, you're like, oh, yeah, not that. I forgot about that. Oh, that's green too, right? Are you seeing a few things that you weren't remembering, okay? Or maybe you weren't consciously focusing on. Now, were those things there a moment ago? So why couldn't you recall them? Because you were focusing on the brown. Exact same room. Everything's the same, right? It's just what are you focusing on within that situation. Now, imagine this. Imagine the area that you're in as a memory storage bank for your brain. And these different colors represent different types of memories. Okay, and that's really how your brain, I mean, of course your brain isn't literally like that, but that's, right, isn't that how your brain is, right? You have all these memories, and you have different types of memories, which we're gonna color code, right? So maybe it's like the white represents the memories of accomplishment, and, blue represents the memory of, failure, and brown represents memories of love, and green represents, the betrayal, okay? Now, at any point, could you search through your memory banks and look for the positive colors? Similarly, at any point in time, could you search through your memory banks and look for the negative ones, right? The negative or the positive. Okay, now, just like there is always something negative and positive happening across the world at any given point, there's always negative and positive things happening both present in your life, happening right now. I mean, you can always find something that's not as good as it could be, right? There's always something you could complain about. No matter how good your life is, you can always complain that it's not more good. I mean, isn't that true? That in and of itself. Even if there's nothing good, can't you always complain that it's not more good than it is? Okay, and similarly, couldn't you also say it's not as bad as it potentially could be? It could always be worse. So, I mean, those are the extremes, but you could always find something to complain about, and you can always find something to appreciate. The question is, what are you going to focus on? So, how exactly do you actually focus on that positive? I know it sounds kind of like a stupid question, but there may be situations where you aren't really even sure what the positive is, right? I mean, like when really bad things happen, when clearly negative things happen, you know, like say you get fired from your job, right? You're then like you get evicted from your apartment because you have no money. Or your significant other leaves you, right? Or, you know, I don't want to get back into rape. I had that written down. Like, that's enough rape for today. Let's just get over that, right? Maybe you get in like a car accident, right? You become permanently physically disabled somehow, okay? Now, you could take situations such as these, which are, I mean, like, obviously negative. They're 100% negative. And yet, aren't there times when people will ultimately end up with a better quality life afterwards? Aren't there times when people have a bad thing happen to them and they end up happier afterwards? So what makes that distinction between a person who allows one of these negative experiences to completely tear them apart, and another person who ultimately becomes better because of it? Well, we already talked about that second depth of focus when it comes to an athlete, right? So who comes in second place or something similar. But what is it precisely that allows one to come out better than the other one? It is the questions we ask ourselves. If we ask ourselves disempowering questions, that is going to lead us to focus on something disempowering. If we ask ourselves empowering questions, that is going to lead us to focus on things which will empower us. This is a precursor to focus. So maybe you're in a little bit too negative of a state to just magically be able to turn yourself around and start seeing only positive things. So how can we begin this process? We ask ourselves the right questions. So imagine something bad happens and someone's like, hey man, change your state. And you're like, screw you, I'm upset, I want to be upset. Okay, so how can we start that process? Here are two sets of questions that a person could hypothetically ask themselves. Now, these aren't the only two questions, they're just some questions. So here's one set, right, when something bad happens to you. Why does this always happen to me? Why can't I ever catch a break? Why is it that every time I start doing well in life, something or someone tries to keep me down? Are those going to be empowering or disempowering questions? Here's another couple questions you could ask yourself. What can I learn from this? How will this ultimately make me a stronger human being? What can I do so this never happens to me again? How can I get through this so I can help others who are going through this painful situation? Asking yourself questions like these will influence your ability to control your state, right? If you can ask questions like these, you're going to begin to focus on that positivity. You may have had something negative happen to you, and you just, there's nothing positive about it. There's nothing positive about it. And listen, I completely agree from an empirical standpoint. Okay, there's nothing good about these situations. The situation is horrible, but can you learn from it? Can you become a stronger person for going through a negative situation? We cannot control outside forces, but we can decide what questions to ask ourselves. We can decide what that negative event will mean to us and how it will affect our life. So let's take a situation where a woman leaves a man who happens to be broke. Which of these two questions is the correct question? Why are all women gold diggers? Or, how can I make more money so this doesn't happen to me again? I would say take a moment, but I'm pretty sure you already know the correct answer.